Hi, this is Tim.
And I'm Wendy.
And welcome to our Foster Parenting Podcast.
We hope to educate and inform our friends, family,
and anyone who wants to listen
about our lives as foster parents.
Cue the jingle. So, raise your hand if you got punched in the face by a three-year-old this week.
Whoosh.
So, us and the three people at home who have three-year-olds who got punched in the face are all raising their hands.
Yes. We are.
Yeah, and never in the time that I've known Wendy have I thought that she was capable of punching a three-year-old in the face. And after Linda hit Wendy in the face, I thought she might hit her back.
You know, there is something that's such a reflex that makes you want to. And I've never in my life been hit in the face by anyone that I can remember.
Really? Even your siblings?
My siblings, yeah.
Wow.
It's like you deal with it on the level of that's my child hitting me, but also on the level of just plain I'm being hit in the face. That's never happened before.
It's that fight or flight thing.
So now I'm feeling all tough.
Because you can take on a three-year-old.
Been initiated, yeah.
Yeah, Linda has, in the last week, when she starts to go into her tantrums, she goes into a bit of rage. And she literally cannot control herself, and she attacks.
Yeah.
And if you happen to be holding her at that moment, she goes for the face.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
And then what she'll do to Andrea when she gets frustrated now is she'll not just hit her once, like used to happen, but she'll wail on her, just repeated, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like a punching bag.
Like fist of fury.
So, if you have thoughts or ideas about what to do about that, please don't send them. Because remember I was telling you, Tim, in my moments of, you know, what do I do about this? My case manager isn't helping and nobody's ideas are working. Where do I go? Oh, no, not to God like I should. I go to the internet.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look up on message boards and there's some pretty great ones out there. And mm-hmm. I found this one thread on a foster parenting, discussion board. It was an old thread from a couple years ago. But it was a mom asking for help for the exact same thing with her adopted 5-year-old. And it was very funny reading the responses because it was exactly how I feel my life is right now. Like the first response was, well, what you got to be sure is that you never give him what he's punching for. That'll make it stop. So she writes back, she's like, oh, thank you for your thoughts. Very sweet lady. Thank you. I have tried that. Of course I don't give him what he's punching me for. And then the next one, well, you got to read some books about attachment, and that's the most important thing. And, you know, I put him in an automatic timeout for that. Thank you. I've read so many attachment books that I think my brain is swamped with attachment. So it was just like, you know, over and over that kind of thing. And basically the answer is, no answer. Pray about it. Pray about it.
Be ready to get hit in the face.
Yeah. And grace and truth over time. Time. Time is what's valuable.
Yeah. And what's funny about that story is that that wasn't unsolicited advice, which is usually the worst.
Right.
This was, she was asking for this advice and getting everything she'd already learned in foster parent training.
Yeah. And that's kind of how we feel sometimes, honestly, going to adoptive parent support group, too.
Yeah.
Like, okay, thanks, tried that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We get some good stuff, but anyway.
Anywho.
We've got much more to talk about tonight.
No more visits at the county facility. Hooray.
Right, which we have been doing twice a week. Tim's been driving for twice a week.
Twice a week for the last 8 months?
Yes. 8 months.
And that is not a place anybody wants to be going for 8 months.
So what happened was the visits have now been changed to monitored visits, and we have volunteered to monitor those visits.
And apparently that's a big deal.
Yeah, everybody seemed surprised and touched. Our therapist said, oh, that gives me goosebumps that you want to be that involved. We're like, what? Of course we want to be with our kids when they're seeing their birth parent.
Yeah, we want to be able to control that situation and hear what she's saying to them. And that's what we've heard from other foster parents, too. Yeah, you want to be there. So you've got the control.
Yeah, so we did our first one today. We're exhausted. I walked away from, first of all, it was a hot day, but I walked away from there feeling emotionally exhausted and thinking, we did it together, and thinking, this is how my kids feel. I mean, the emotional part, This is how my kids feel every time after a visit. It's not that she's unhealthy or anything like that. It's that, it's just the back and forth and the fact that you're there with this intense relationship. And
yeah. Part of the reason it made it difficult, we will get into later, and that will be the bulk of our episode.
Okay.
But yeah, there was another factor there that made it tough. Then I think we mentioned that we were asking for respite care, and we finally got it.
Woo! Yeah, we got it last night for one night.
Last night, and what did the girls think of it?
Apparently, while they were there, everything was great.
Yeah, they loved being there.
And then they got home, and Linda had she had massive tantrums all the way home, at home, at the visit today.
They were not happy with us that we sent them away for the evening.
But they're never going to say that. It's not that they're saying that. It's that you're like, oh, what's this weird behavior?
Well, it was clear what that weird behavior was coming from.
To us, it was.
Yeah, they probably couldn't even identify it themselves.
The girls, but, right, yeah. Right.
But they were not. They were not pleased that they were away for an evening.
We were.
Yeah.
We had a nice, quiet evening, and I kind of just planned to clean the house, but we actually rented a movie. And
particularly given the evening beforehand, which we will get into in a little bit. But I was trying to calm Linda down before we went to the visit with her mom and after she got back from respite. And I was pretty much giving in to what she wanted. You know, she wanted to go somewhere. I just went with her and did what she wanted to do. And so Wendy brought back a hammock for me from Peru.
Peru.
And we put it up this week, and Linda wanted to get in the hammock, and so I got in with her, and we were just having a nice, quiet father-daughter moment, rocking in the hammock together, and I said, Linda, I love you so much. And she said, Daddy, I don't love you so much. I love you just a little. Sometimes. I said, well, that's okay. I still love you. I still love you so much, even if you don't love me so much. I said, well, how come you don't love me so much? And she said, because you make me sad all the time. And I think I just reiterated that that was okay. And she didn't, you know, my love wasn't contingent on how she feels back to me. But yeah, definitely feeling that unhappiness about the respite. And She probably doesn't like that I'm a dad too.
Yeah, father figure. Well, way to go to you for the way you responded instead of aghast, dropping her out of the hammock.
How dare you.
And way to go, Linda, for expressing that.
Yeah.
Like feeling free enough to say that.
Yeah, to state how she feels about somebody. I thought that was good for her too.
Yeah. Very good.
Have okay. We mentioned she's three?
So this is kind of already a downer of an episode, so I thought I'd tell a cute story. We like to go to the library and get books and things from the library, and I had wanted to get like an exercise video for kids, just like a fun little thing, and I had found one called Mighty Me, and I had researched it, and I was going to go get it at the library. And so picked it up at the library and was telling the girls what I was doing. Right next to it is a Barbie exercise video.
Ooh.
I can tell looking at it, first of all, it's a VHS tape, so you know when it was made. And looking at it, you can just tell that it's low quality, you know, low budget. And it's like Barbie dancing and like, you know, 10-year-olds doing exercise moves in pink leotards. And so Andrea, of course, it's pink, and she's like, Barbie, Mommy, we got to get that one instead. And I said, okay, how about we get both? And we'll see which one you like. sure enough, we get home, we put Barbie in first, which is what she was desperate to see. And it's like, you know, the kids popping around in pink leotards with a lady, Barbie's special friend, you know, a real lady, uh-huh. exercising. And then every once in a while, they'll cut to this image of Barbie that must have been like, you know how they do with claymation, they move it piece by piece.
Yeah.
Must have been that. And she's like, "You're doing great, girls. Do it like this." And then it'll go back to their live action. Okay. Yeah. So 5 minutes, they're done. They hate it. Of course, the Mighty Me one that I put in, they love. But that's just a side note.
Mommy knows best.
Anyway, like a week later, this video is given to us that's called, I think, Life Size.
Yeah.
And it's like it was a made-for-TV movie with Tyra Banks where she basically plays
and Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan, where Tyra Banks plays a Barbie doll, basically, that's come to life. And so I say, "Hey, girls, why don't we put this in? It's a Barbie movie." And Andrea's like, "Oh, no, I don't want to watch the Barbie one where she's dancing around and they're just standing there. It is so boring." And I tell her, you know, Linda's right there. "No, this is not the Barbie one where they're dancing. Don't worry. This is one where, you know, it's a real movie and you know, the Barbie comes to life and she's having fun and there's a kid and, you know, it's not the exercise one." We go over this several times over the course of the afternoon as we're preparing to watch the movie. And
Andrea and Linda are both there, as you
both there. Andrea does not believe me whatsoever. She's like, "We're not watching it." I'm like, "Let's just put it in. Put in the video." Sure enough, it's what I said it was. And she's like, "Mommy, it's a real movie." She's all excited. 5 minutes later, Linda is watching the movie. She turns to me and she goes, "Mommy, when are they going to start exercising?" Something about the whole conversation, she just
she turned out
misconstrued. Yeah,
and we mentioned she's three.
Thank you.
So what we're really going to talk about tonight is, oh, that's right, is not that. Wendy just pointed out the outline to me, and we have one more thing to cover, and that is, you've probably seen the news reports about the fundamentalist Mormons in Texas, and how 400 some odd kids are going into the foster care system. And I was reading a news story online about it, and it was talking about how the kids, they're going to try to put in homes where there aren't other children. They're encouraging the families to keep the TVs off, put them away, not introduce them to, you know, modern culture and popular culture, to feed them homegrown meats and vegetables and things like that. And one of the things they said was, you know, they want to keep them away from other foster kids because they're worldly. And a lot of this article said, a lot of these foster kids, you know, they've been involved with drugs or breaking the law or something like that. And that's why they're in foster care. And I just paused and I was like, no, that is not why they're in foster care.
Yeah, our faithful listeners will know, of course, because we talked about the adoption survey a few weeks ago, that never do kids enter foster care because of something they did.
No. And certainly, foster kids can be worldly. Yes, they're exposed to a lot more than fundamentalist Mormon kids.
And they can be juvenile delinquents.
Yeah.
But usually because of what has happened to them, and oftentimes because they're in foster care, that's not the reason they're in foster care.
Yeah, they're in foster care because of something that was done to them, not something they did. And yeah, it was just a two-line sentence and a big story, and I was like, oh, come on.
Right.
Don't pass that lie along.
Good job, Tim.
Thanks.
Way to expose the truth on our podcast. To all four of you out there. okay, what we really do want to talk about tonight is how our mediation process is going, and specifically, then we're going to talk about the point of ongoing contact. So what we want to say first off is that we met with the mediator again yesterday, and we found out what Carmen, their birth mom, not her real name, is asking for in terms of post-adoption visits.
And it was pretty much the worst case scenario. It was our nightmare.
It was what we were saying, oh, you know,
as long as it's not this.
Right.
And it was exactly that.
Yeah. It was It was La La Land.
Yeah, and we won't get into the details of what she's asking for, but we could easily equate it to a divorce settlement or a good way to think, or I would put it this way. She would like to view us as caretakers of her children, and she will come pick them up and go do fun things with them.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah, and that is not... That is not healthy for the girls. That is not what we're looking for. And it's kind of, it's, she kind of has a, I deserve this mentality about this mediation process.
Yeah. And some of it feels too like, you know, because there's a possibility that she would relinquish her rights to the girls if we can come to an agreement. Part of it feels like, I'll give you my kids if, like, this is, yeah, like you said, in a divorce settlement. And it makes me go, we're not in this to steal your kids. We're in this to take kids who can't go back to their birth parent. So if you think they can go back to you, great, fight for them.
Go to court.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to say to her.
But we're not saying that because we don't think that's the right boundary with her.
Yeah, we're not an attorney. We're not her attorney specifically. But if she thinks she deserves weekly shopping trips, then she needs to go to court. And just have full custody of the children.
Right. So, you know, after that meeting, I was very sad. Tim said he was frustrated. We have felt angry. We felt, you know, part of you too, you struggle with this thing where your heart can't help but start thinking, ooh, maybe I should kind of let go, you know, and think about the next thing. And we're just really choosing not to do that.
Yeah.
And choosing to fully continue loving our girls.
And probably what we should explain also is that this basically means mediation is going to fall through. We're not going to come to an agreement, which means it is going to go to trial. And that means she does have a shot at getting the girls back.
Right.
So yeah, we're like, we have fear that we're going to lose them, as she does too.
We both have the same fear.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So what I was saying is we don't want to just say, oh, well, you know, que sera, sera, and start detaching. Like, that's not what they deserve. You know, they deserve that we love them fully. And then when the time comes, if the time comes when the courts rule in favor of Carmen and the girls reunify with her, then at that point, you know, we deal with it. At that point, we help them to start detaching from us. But at this point, our choice is to live in this moment and live in love for these beautiful kids.
Yeah. And if you would like to pray for us, we would love that. In fact, we would prefer you not pray for us, but you should pray for Carmen. Mm-hmm. And you can pray using that name Carmen. God will decode it for you.
He'll translate it.
And yeah, just pray for a change in her heart. We the mediator has let us know that we are being more than reasonable and very generous, and we've got the right expectations for what this process should look like. So we're taking her word for it. But for Carmen to come down to what we're offering her is going to take a major change of heart for her. And at this point, that could be considered a miracle. So if you'd like to pray for it, and if it happens, then you can know that a miracle happened.
And that you helped instigate it.
Yeah.
We would love that.
Please join us.
Yeah. And so that's the direction that we're praying for. And, you know, in thinking about this, I think we've talked about our frustration and why it's frustrating for us, but we haven't really talked about, you know, why that approach is so hard for us. And the reason is it gets down to, what is the point of ongoing contact? What is the point of a child continuing to have contact with a birth parent after adoption? And obviously, right now, Carmen is thinking that the point is, you know, maybe to meet her needs because she can't stand letting go of them, to continue the relationship as it has been, you know, to keep that bond.
I think what the mediator was telling us was that she doesn't want the girls to be mad at her or mad at us. And so I think she thinks that this kind of situation will keep the girls happy and they'll never be angry. And I don't think she understands that they already are angry.
Yeah.
And
oh, good point.
And that, you know, whatever wacky scenario she's come up with isn't going to make them unangry. No, they already are.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in addition to, you know, what we're hearing from Carmen through the mediator, what we're hearing from people around us, there's a number of voices in our lives that are just, I think, questioning why would you want to allow any kind of contact after adoption? And, you know, you hear about that a lot. As much as you hear about quote unquote open adoption and mm-hmm. keeping the birth parent in the picture, you also hear a lot of hesitation of, ooh, you know, is that going to be good for the kids? Isn't that going to be confusing for them? So what we want to say is the point of ongoing contact is, first of all, not to appease somebody. You know, it's not for us, like we said, to get her kids.
It's not to get her to let go of her kids and somehow dangle a carrot in front of her so she signs over her rights.
It's not to make us not feel so bad that we're taking away her kids. You know, oh, poor thing. Let's give her some time with them so she feels better.
And it's not to be trendy, because open adoption is a new cool hip thing that some people are trying.
Right. We're not just jumping into it because it's the latest pop psychology or whatever.
Yeah.
So what are the reasons for having ongoing contact with a birth parent after adoption?
Our top first reason is that so the kids don't have any fantasies or magical thinking about their birth parent.
Yeah, you know, if every kid has some kind of fantasies, you know, mom and dad, not that I did, about, oh, well, you know, when I'm getting punished, I was really adopted and yeah. my real parent,
they'll
come save me on a white horse and, you know, I'm really a princess. But when you actually see that person once in a while, enough to know who they are and know what their life is like, you don't have those magical ideas about who they are. You're a lot more down to earth, and that helps you to cope in reality a lot better.
The next reason is so that the kids are not left to wonder. They're free from frustration of the unknown and free from feelings of abandonment. They know that mom had some say in this.
Number three is just everyone's curiosity. You know, we'll always wonder how she's doing, where she is, if she's had more kids.
How baby Janelle is.
Yep.
Not her real name. So that the kids can continue resolving feelings about her. You know, as they grow older, they're going to gain new feelings about her and attitudes about her as they mature, and they'll get to process those, you know, on a routine basis, semi-routine basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll actually be able to interact with her as they're having those feelings. And so that I think that will help moderate them and will help them move to the next developmental stage. Number five is medical issues. That's the biggie. You know, even if you're going to have no actual verbal or physical contact with a birth parent, you still want to know where they are so that you can find out about medical issues later in life.
And to number six, to know future siblings, which they might have.
Yeah. Number seven, we think that when the kids see us loving their birth mom and accepting their birth mom, they're going to feel loved and accepted. There's just something that's so intimately tied to where you came from that if an adoptive parent is can I say dissing that? Do people still say dissing?
You already did, so let's go with it.
Dissing. It's not a bad word, right? So if we're dissing the birth mom, or, you know, if we're even dissing her just indeed by not letting her or not giving her any kind of contact, then that sends a message to the children about where they came from, that where they came from is somehow bad.
Yeah. It gives the number eight is they give it gives the children or they the children feel permission to become part of the adoptive family because they know mom signed off on it. I think I mentioned that earlier. Sorry about that.
Well, yeah, even if she didn't sign off on it, you know, having the permission, just feeling that, okay, mom has, you know, acknowledged this. It's not that she's sitting there wondering where her baby is.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
Yeah. And she's not snatching me up and running off with me. She's watching me go get in the car with these people.
Right. And then finally, number nine is so that the birth parent has an ongoing opportunity for redemption. You know, we're just all about people being redeemed. And yes, there were mistakes made. And yes, those kids are going to live with them forever. But if we continue just acting in a punitive way towards her, then she doesn't have opportunity for redemption. If we have some contact, we think that she can see a good, healthy outcome from something she did that was unhealthy. That allows her to move on. And then when the kids see that she's moved on, they can move on too.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, even as you said that, I was thinking through foster parents and adoptive parents too, you know, carry a grudge against birth parents. You know, how could you do that to these children? You know, these children that I love so much. And, you know, hopefully those people are, hopefully the birth parents are maturing and moving forward, and you get a chance to see that they're growing too, that they're not still in that place where they're a 19-year-old meth addict or whatever, you know, happened to be the case.
Yeah. Well, we there's a lot more reasons. Specifically, we thought to include mostly reasons for the benefit of the children, because that's what we're really thinking about. You know, for us, any benefit to their birth mom and any benefit to Tim and I is really just, for us, that's a side effect. That's a side result, you know, a perk of the kids being in touch with her, or rather what the kids get out of it. And so, you know, in doing a little bit of research, we found websites with a number of reasons that it's beneficial for the birth parent and beneficial for the adoptive parent as well. And of course, there's reasons not to be in contact as well. There's drawbacks for sure. And it's a gestalt thing. You know, you gotta feel it out with your kids. Mm. But we just think that the benefits outweigh the drawbacks if you do it right. All right, well, let's get out of this mood and get into Listener Corner.
Ooh-hoo, it was you, then came Listener Corner.
Those are awesome, Tim.
Yeah, I wish I would have written that one.
Today on Listener Corner, we're going to be hearing from Lionel.
Lionel says, hi, Tim and Wendy. We are currently waiting for our social worker to get a hold of us to start home studies. Man, does this waiting take forever. Some people call this the pregnancy of the whole adoption. I realize why it has to be this long, too, but man, it sure tries my patience. And my wife is not known for her patience at all. Hopefully she's not listening. But here we are, waiting for our social worker to start off the next phase of the process. Just wanted to vent about the waiting is all. Thanks, Lionel. We're happy you could vent about the waiting and your wife.
I'm sorry I'm laughing so hard, Lionel. It just didn't strike me as that funny when I read it earlier. When Tim said it out loud, I thought about him saying it about me to somebody else, and I thought, keep that one to yourself, buddy. Anyway, we didn't read it to make fun of you. We read it because it brings us back to our days of waiting.
Yeah. And, yeah, just reflecting on the waiting, like, you forget about that time.
Yeah.
So many other things come up, and eventually that just fades from your memory. Is like, right now, if you're waiting, you've got a lot of anxiety about it, and we're not discounting that at all. It's real anxiety, and, just, I think other emotions become stronger very quickly.
Hmm. Like anger.
And what were you saying about talking with Andrea?
Yeah, Lionel, your comment brought me back to a conversation I had with Andrea earlier this week when she was asking about when our cat was a baby, and that was, you know, before we had Andrea and Linda place with us. So after I told her about how our cat came to us, then she said, what about me? And, you know, I just walked her through several weeks, of our placement time with them. And, I just remember, this is a little different from your situation, but after we were already certified, we had several different kids, several different sibling groups or pairs presented to us, and they weren't working out for this reason or that reason. And then we got a phone call on a Friday afternoon. I didn't get the message until the weekend. saying, you know, with Andrea and Linda's names on the message. And then it just seemed to take forever to actually get them placed because all these social workers wanted to talk to us. And we were sitting there going, but we've got this whole weekend free, you know, we could be bonding with them this weekend. And it just felt like an eternity before they were placed with us. And now I forget that. And now it's just part of the story that I share with Andrea of how they came to us. So Lionel and your impatient wife,
Donna.
Oh, Tim, I wasn't going to say her name. Not that it matters.
He included
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Donna, between you and me. funny. Yeah, there is a lot of preparation work, but it's just kind of fun to think of how, like, you know, we'll share with our kids later. The same way that parents share with their kids. We prepared the nursery, you know, we went and saw your picture in our tummy on the ultrasound. We're going to say things like, yeah, we got our fingerprints and then we waited for him. We bought a fire extinguisher and put it in the kitchen. Okay. We also wanted to talk about Foster Care Month, which is in May.
Are you excited? Everybody excited? Well, if you're not now, you will be.
We should get like some applause background. Stick it in there.
Okay.
You'll do that for me. Yeah. So what we wanted to say is an idea we just had about Foster Care Month. Really, it's an awareness month about foster care. And we wanted to offer, just if you want to get your blogs ready, we're going to do some promo stuff. Do you want to talk about what it might be?
No, that's just, it's a buzz campaign
surprise.
Right now.
You want it to be a surprise that we'll have like campaign. Audio and visual?
We will. Oh, yeah, we will.
Well, you're putting it together, so. But we want to, like, figure out maybe something YouTube or something that you can just embed into your blog if you have one. And you
this
know,
this is a buzz campaign. Why are you telling people all about it now?
Shh. Because they're on the inside.
Oh, that's right. You're on the inside. Okay, but don't tell anybody.
So we will unveil this next week. But the point is, get your blog ready. We're going to find an easy way for you to just post something up on your blog that sends it back to our podcast or, you know, some other more effective means of garnering foster parents for the system. And then we also wanted to thank everybody who emailed info@fosterpodcast.com
last
week.
Thank you for all those emails.
Which we didn't get.
No, we did. It's just when I got them, I sent everybody a thank you with a undeliverable message.
Yeah. Just to let you know it got here.
Yeah, we got
it. No, we did not get it. It didn't work.
Yeah, we're lame. Just note to ourselves, don't invent an email address and announce it without first testing it. Yeah, it took us about a week to get it. It should have been a very simple thing, but of course, very simple things don't always happen simply.
But it is working now.
It does work now. We know it works now.
So if you sent us an email, would you please resend it to info@fosterpodcast.com? And if you want to write to us, please do that this week.
And we will get it. It does work now. That's it for today. As you can tell, we're learning a lot about foster parenting.
We agree. It can be a crazy system, but the best way to do something about it is to become a foster parent yourself and provide a safe, stable place for kids. What's wrong with that?
If you have any questions or would like to comment, email us at info@fosterpodcast.com or visit our website, fosterpodcast.com. Thanks for joining us.